My name is Brian Baptiste, and I serve the Lord in St. Kitts, West Indies, and I brought some pictures along with me, so you'll be able to view at the end of the meeting. It's a delight to be here, and the saints told me as I travel to convey their love and greetings to the saints as I will meet them on my pilgrim path. Saints, I bring the love and greetings of the saints in the nice sunshine state of St. Kitts. Now I am a little jet lagged since coming to England. I am confused, you know, at now it's 7 to 8 and the sun is still up. It will be dark in St. Kitts. But thank the Lord. Saints, we are going to a place where we'll have no night there. We'll have no need of the sun, because the Lamb shall be the light of that city. What a day awaits us. No more tears, no more sorrow. The former things are passed away. Well, saints, I'm going to tonight, this evening, dwell on the very hymn that we have just sung. And I thank the Lord for Brother Brian. I am Brian too. Opening up with that thing. We want to dwell on the triumph of Christ. The triumph on Christ. And brethren, we have seen in the scriptures where every time there was a triumph or a victory that was wrought by God on behalf of his people, there was sin. And I would like to lay a nice foundation upon which we can dive into our message this evening. That we could lay a good foundation that we can see we are not following one who is winning. We are following one who has won the victory. So brethren, I am not on a team that is losing or winning. We are following the victor. And the victor is on the throne. So in our few moments together, we like to look at the triumph of Christ. Let us turn for the first portion in the book of Exodus and chapter 14. And we'll not tarry there too long. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Saints, these few verses here brought before us a tremendous victory wrought by God on behalf of his people. They have came to a place in the history of themselves where they have came out of Egypt. They came to the Red Sea, mountain of sands on both sides, and the enemy in the back. No place to run. And they turned to Moses and said, would to God, we are died in Egypt. We knew why you brought us outside here. Because there is no grave, there is no place to bury us in Egypt. But God said to Moses, go forward. The voice of faith. Go forward. And that day God says, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more. And God caused a strong east wind. And as it were, divided that Red Sea. They went through on dry land.
It's amazing. I always think of it. It should have been some mud. But God even dried up the mud. And they went through on dry ground. And God, when God brought back over the Red Sea, they looked and they saw the Egyptians on the other side dead. What a victory it was. And there was a song. And the song was, "We will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." We are going to look at the triumph of Christ. Brethren, we are in the days of much despair. We are in the days that many things will distress. They felt the same way, but they dwelt on the triumph of Christ, on the triumph of God. Quickly, with me, let's turn to the book of Judges, chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, and reading verse 1. "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Heroshea of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah the prophetess, who, the wife of Leprodot, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt unto the palm tree of Deborah between Ram and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." It was another dark time in the history of the children of Israel. They came into the land. And it is often said it's very easy to wage an offensive warfare, to go out and be offensive. But one of the toughest battles to win is a defensive warfare. To defend something you have gained in battle. The children of Israel had gained the land of Canaan. They came in under Joshua. And oh, God worked miraculously. The walls of Jericho fell. Ai was taken. Gideon deceived them. The five kings came up and Joshua routed them. The 10 kings came up and Joshua just, there was victory after victory. And they went back to the land. They went back to the place of Gilgal, the place of self-judgment. There was victory in those days. And Psalm 44 answers to that. When they told about the victory times under indeed men like Joshua. And the elders that outlived Joshua. But now this is a time of reproach. And they are saying they are in the land. And the enemy is robbing the people of God from the enjoyment of the things that God has secured for them. Through the battles, indeed military conquest of Joshua. And brethren, it is the same way today. When I think of, I was saying to the saints last night at, which part of this one?
Ipswich.
Yes, there, and I was sharing with them how I enjoyed the writings of the English brethren. And I got a picture with men like Mr. Vine. I got a picture. And I have it with me. I asked the brother for it and I'm taking it back to St. Kitts and put it up in my house. I saw Mr. Hamilton Smith and Mr. Westwood and indeed Mr. J.K. Mawson. Those are men I have read, brethren. Those are men who have touched my life. And I trust I'll get one of Mr. Darby and Mr. Kelly and these men before I leave. I even saw Mr. Magwood. Men who I have read. Brethren, these men have labored. These men have gone in and possessed the land. These men have gone in and, as it were, possessed their possessions. And they were men like Joshua, if I should say so. And oh, we have come and enjoyed, as it were, the land that they have possessed. Every place your foot shall tread upon, I shall give it to you for an inheritance. And oh, we have enjoyed the writings of these brethren. But brethren, we have to say, we are in the days now of the judges, where the enemy has seen to come and to rob us of those things that are precious to us. And there was weeping in those days. They cried unto God. And God raised up, yes, this woman, Deborah. They came up to her and she knew her place as a sister. And she went down to Barak and he said, didn't God tell you, indeed he's going to give you the victory? He says, I'm not going until you come with me. He was a scared man. But be that as it may, there was a tremendous victory that day. When God used Jael to pin the head of the captain of Jabin's army to the ground, she took a pin from the tent and drive it right through his temple. And brethren, what a victory it was for the people of God that day. And singing began. Chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offer themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ears, O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And it tells us as they continue singing in verse 12, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake unto a song arise, Barak, and led thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. What a victory. Quickly, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here it was, Goliath of Gath. And they set the battle in array, verse chapter 17. And we want to read verse 4. Verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. His name means sweeping away, or stripping, really, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And it tells us what he wore. But it tells us, beloved, in verse 32 of that same chapter. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And brethren, for brevity of time, it tells us that David came up to him. And David took that sling and that stone and hit Goliath right in his forehead. He fell, and David cut off his neck, cut off his head, and went into the tongue. David, Saul has killed his 1,000, and David is 10,000, and Saul got jealous. Brethren, I've just drawn these 3 illustrations for us to dwell upon the triumph of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord has triumphed gloriously. And we like now, and we would see, we'll make comparison with these 3 portions of scripture in light of what Christ has wrought for us in a day of small things. In a day when we feel it's time to throw in the towel, is like when a boxer is in the ring and he's getting a lot of licks, he look into the corner to see his trainer, because he wants his trainer to throw in the towel. But brethren, there's no throwing in the towel for us. We are in a war, and there's no retreat. We are going on to the end. And we are going on because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Brethren, with that little background and foundation, we'd like to turn to the second book of Corinthians, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And he reads, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a savour, a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." This is where we would like to come in. Brethren, the picture that is drawn by the Spirit of God here is the picture of a victorious warlord. One who is returning from a great conquest. One who is returning a victorious conqueror. I was living in New York City when Mr. Stormy Norman, who, as it were, was the general in Desert Storm, they had a parade for him on Broadway. And everyone came to see this man, Mr. Norman, General Norman Schwarzkopf. And there he was, Dick Cheney and Mr. Colonel Powell. They give them a tremendous parade. And everyone was there just throwing out tape and throwing out graffiti, throwing out everything out windows. It was a tremendous sight. And they saying, Stormy Norman. And oh, he was so proud. And he looking around and everybody was cheering him on. You know what touched my heart? What it will be in that day, beloved saints, when Christ shall come in, and indeed the final victory is over, and the last enemy, death, is put down. What it will be when we, as it were, line the parade and Christ start coming through. It thrilled my heart. I saw all men bow to Schwarzkopf. And I say, one day, man is going to bow to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But since we have bowed in time and we have owned that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But now he is here, as it were, the triumphant warlord walking through. And in every place, he's just demonstrating the victories that he has won. And the Apostle Paul, see himself as one. There was the prisoners just coming behind. Schwarzkopf didn't have the Iranians with him. But the Lord Jesus, the victorious warlord, had all the enemies, as it were, chained behind his chariot wheels. And the Apostle Paul saw himself as one chained to the wheels of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw himself as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he used that term many times in his words. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Beloved saints, all of us, who have been captured by the Lord Jesus Christ, are chained to his chariot. He is saying, "These are my prisoners," and I tell you, I'm a willing prisoner. Oh yes, I'm a willing prisoner captured by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very wonderful, beloved saints, because when we think of when the ark was coming into Canaan, there was a victory wrought that not a blow was heard. The first victory of Canaan was not Jericho. No, it was the woman Rahab. That's the first victory God wrought. It was the power of the grace of God. How God could change a life without a blow. And brethren, he has done the same with us. No guns. No spears. No weapons. But we were taken captive. What brought us down? You know what brought us down? The power of the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation." And brethren, when you think of this, the Apostle Paul sees himself chained to the chariot wheels of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it brings before him? The Lordship of Christ. He is Lord. The Lordship of Christ. "I'm not my own," he says. "I've been bought with a price." He says, "The love of Christ constrained us. Because if we thus judge, and he that one died for all, then we are all dead, and they that live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto him who died and rose again. Indeed, the Lordship of Christ, he is our Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing. Brethren, what a triumph. When you think of why did the Lord Jesus lay his hands upon you? How did he won your heart? How were you captured? Indeed, sometimes we are saved and we are saying, but why me? Why me? Not why that man. Indeed, we bow to him as this champion start coming through, this victorious warlord. But he turns from seeing himself as a prisoner, and in that procession, there were those who came behind with little incense vases, as we say in England, it's vases, right? And in America, they say, no, vase in England. Yes. In America, we say vases. But it's vase. Okay, I'll use the word vase. In these vases, they have little flowers that give off nice incense. So the Apostle Paul says, I want to show the two ways that this procession takes. There is some who are prisoners, and there are some who defuse and just spread the incense as they go along. Just sending out wonderful fragrance. He removes and sees himself as a prisoner, and he sees himself now as one who is defusing incense. And those two aspects we are. Brethren, we are going through this world, letting men know every place we have gone. We are just defusing incense and letting them know, I have been freed. I am just diffusing the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every place in school, on your job, at your home, it's diffusing. It's wonderful incense you're giving off. And it's the life of the Christian that gives off this wonderful perfume. And others see and say, there's something I'm diffusing, this wonderful thing that Christ has brought in the gospel. The grace is a new creation. The Bible says, whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. Brethren, we are free. We are free. So not only prisoners, but we are free. And it tells us, beloved, there are some in that procession who he is going to kill. And there are some he's going to let live. Now, when you think of it, is as he pleased. He is the conqueror. He is the triumphant one. And the gospel goes out to all. The gospel has been diffused. And you know what is so sad? Brethren, the gospel is nothing strange to England, to America, to the West Indies. It has been saturated with the gospel of Christ. But men have said, we don't want this victor, this champion, this triumphant one to reign over us. We will not have this man to reign over us. Some will try to escape the grips of the gospel. Some will say, no, that's not for me, like the Apostle Paul and Basil. When he preached, he says, and he saw that sign to the unknown God. He says, whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And he spoke about God is self-sufficient. God is the creator. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. All these things he brought before us. And then he says, God has commanded man every place to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he is going to judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And he has given all men every reassurance whereby he has raised them from the dead. Some heard, some mocked. We are here over that again. Some indeed said, that's later on. Procrastinators, but some believe. The word of God go forth and it produces. It some rejects, some put it off, and some accept. The same word. It is often said the same word that melts, or the same sun that melts butter, hardens clay. The same word that may save a precious soul seals another man's womb. And it says every one of us who are chained to the wheels of the Lord Jesus Christ as a willing captive will live. But also, brethren, we are here as diffusers of the incense, of the sweet savour. Hear what it tells us here. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved. He says, and in them that perish. Them that are saved, we are like a rumor to God. Brethren, it's wonderful for God to see a little bit of Christ in me. What a delight it is. And he says, what a triumph of Christ. Brethren, we are taken captive. And every place we go, we are just diffusing and telling men and women, we are taken already. Can we take all again? Taken already. By whom? By whom? The man, Christ Jesus. I am a captain. And I'm just diffusing wonderful perfume of the life and victories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we are reading verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That know that he ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Another portion brought before. Now, brethren, in the book of 2 Corinthians, we saw where we are captive, where the Apostle Paul brought himself as a captive and one who diffuses the incense. But here what is brought before us, and it answers to that portion in the book of Judges. The same portion is mentioned. When he ascended, and I listened to their program last Sunday on the radio for today, and the brothers spoke about the ascension of Christ. He ascended. In the book of Luke, it says, he ascended. In the book of Acts, it says he was received up into heaven. But here, he ascended. It meant he did that personally. No one, as it were, the Father didn't brought him, a cloud never received him. He ascended. It's the power in which it was done. He ascended, and it tells us, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He who held us captive is held captive now. Oh, brethren, indeed, complete freedom. And there it tells us indeed that now that he ascended, what it is that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, indeed, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who indeed, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brethren, he descended, he came and he died here. But this same one who died is the same one who has set us free, but lay hold upon the enemy of our souls. And indeed, beloved saints, he has known. It says that he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. It is bringing before us the victorious Christ. The one who descends is now, is there, is in the very portals of glory. He is seated, he is strong with glory and honor. And indeed, beloved saints, he has vanquished every foe. He has routed every enemy. And it tells us he ascended and he has given gifts unto men. And the gifts he has given is to make known to us the spoils of the victory. Oh, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor is now spreading to us and making known to us, saints, the battle is over. And we can enjoy the things that he has secured for us. You know, it's very bad. When we think of those in the book of Joshua, it's the book of Judges, when the Lord had brought them into such a place of wealth, a place flowing with milk and honey, when they spied the land, they said, indeed, the land is a good land. Look at the grapes. Joshua, Moses, look at the grapes, the figs, the pomegranates. Everything grew above ground. It was the land, the food of Canaan, the old corn of the land, all these things, Christ in glory. Indeed, beloved, the pomegranates, the fruit of the Spirit, all the blessings of the land. And to know now, there is nothing to eat. No food for the people of God. The children of Israel, it said even of Gideon, he was threshing wheat that the people of God may have something to eat. Things have gotten so bad. Well, this victory here is that the Lord Jesus has wrought, the triumph, is that the people of God may be well fed. It is said, I got this on a tape. Brother R.K. Campbell told me that, or I heard it on the tape. He says, Mr. Hawking, and I saw his picture too. Mr. Hawking said, listen, the saints need surgical care. But what they need is food in abundance. He says they need a little surgical care. But what the saints need is food in abundance. Brethren, just pack the saints with food, that they may be lusty, that they may be fat. And the Apostle John says, Gaius, I wish you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospered. The man was enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the victor has given gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that the saints may be fat, that the saints may have the old corn of the land, that they may have the figs, they may have the pomegranates, they may have the things that they may freely enjoy that Christ has secured for us. He says, listen, I have taken care of the captive. I have taken care of him who has held you captive. Now we are free to do what? To enjoy the spoils of the land and enjoy the bounties that Christ has provided for us. Brethren, the manna ceased, but they ate the Passover and the old corn of the land. They ate the manna in the wilderness, but they ate the Passover in Egypt, in the wilderness and in the land. Three different aspects of the death of Christ. But the whole corn of the land was only eaten in the land. There he is. Christ in glory. It says, he that descended, verse 10, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he may fill all. If he will fill the universe for God, he is going to fill us first, the church. He fills us with all that God has secured for us. Saints, I would say this. I want all God has for me. Everything. I want to enjoy everything that God, and the more I could dwell and pick up, just fill it in your soul and just enjoy what God has given. I told the saints at the other meeting the other night, Brother Dr. T used to say, it's like putting sweet in your mouth and just rolling it around and just enjoy what God has given to us. God says, I've taken care of it and I've sent gifts for us to behold upon all that Christ has secured for us. Brethren, we are blessed. And I don't want to live on the husk of Christianity. God wants us to enjoy our possession. What a victory. What a triumph. making known the spoils of his victory, that the saints, in verse 14, tells us that we will be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, that we may enjoy the blessed victories that Christ has wrought for us. Quickly, saints, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse, reading verse 15. Let's read verse 13 for connection, please. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, of the new moon, of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body or the substance is of Christ. In the book of Colossians, we have the preeminence of Christ in chapter 1. In creation and redemption, in the assembly, in the church. In chapter 2, I would like to put a little cap over it. Freedom in Christ. Freedom, it tells us in verse 4, from enticing words. Verse 4, it says that, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. In verse 8. Freedom also from the philosophy of men. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In chapter 11, indeed, from 11 to 17, we have, let no man judge you, because Christ has set you free. In verse 16, let no man therefore judge you. And then it tells us from freedom from improper worship and freedom from the doctrine of men. You find that comes out very forcibly in chapter 2. But now it tells us about the triumph of Christ again. It tells us he has spoiled the principalities and powers. Brethren, the enemy is a defeated foe. We are like Daniel in the den of lions. Daniel was there, and the king came and said, O king, O Daniel is the God whom thou servest able to deliver thee. O king, live forever. My God is able. Brethren, we are in the den of lions. This is the enemy's domain. This is the God of this world. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them who are lost, whom this God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. The scripture says they walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We are in the lion's den, but because of our faith in the finished work of Christ, we have shut the lion's mouth. And indeed, little Nathan was singing it. Daniel, indeed, he shut the lion's mouth. Indeed, beloved, the lion's mouth is shut. He may roar. He may whoop out as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he could never devour a Christian. He scares us, though. The roar scares us. But brethren, there's victory. And he says Christ has spoiled principalities and powers. It's not that he is. It has been done completely at the cross of Calvary. He entered the strong man's house. He bound him and began to spoil his goods, crush his head of Calvary, and came out victoriously. And there he is, God has enshrined him, a divine attestation that the enemy is defeated, brethren. Indeed, and all he will do is try to. Indeed, you know what is wonderful? When you look at David, in the depth there of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, he was drowned. In the book of Judges, his head was pinned. But with David, his head was cut off. But with Christ, his head was crushed. Brethren, he cannot catch himself. 2,000 years, he cannot catch himself. And he will not catch himself until he is completely and put in to the bottomless pit where the beast, where the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Brethren, there is victory. He has spoiled principalities and powers. Now it tells us in the book of Ephesians, God has highly exalted him, far above principalities and powers, mights and dominion. That is good and bad, principalities and powers. In Ephesians chapter 3, it is the good ones that principalities may see the manifold wisdom of God. They learn it from us. And in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of this world and darkness in high places. Let me quote that properly. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It tells us, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the scripture says, all principalities are subject to him. Subject to our blessed, victorious Lord. And brethren, when we think of the complete victory of Christ, and when you see a saint is living a defeated life, it is saying it is an insult to the finished work of Christ. A real insult. The scripture says, the apostle Paul says, brethren, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, no angels, no principalities, no things present, no things to come, is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Triumph, every place to turn is victory. Victory, victory. And all we are saying, the Lord Jesus wants us to walk in the victory that he has secured for us. Victory all the way is not, brethren, a winning battle. It's a battle already won. His power has been annulled. The victor is on the throne. And he's saying, I am the captain of your salvation. He is leading us through the wilderness. And oh, what a blessed thing. He's able to save to the uttermost all they that come unto God by him. He has qualified to lead us. He has went through every form of human suffering. And he's saying, now I'm leading this company. And I'm taking them through the wilderness victoriously. And in the end, when they came through the wilderness, brethren, you know the language of scripture? They closed. They were well fed. But they murmured all the way. But God says, I'll still bring there a minute of rest for the people of God. Brethren, we shall be brought there. The ship is breaking up. Acts chapter 27. But all that sailed with Paul, things were dark. Things were in despair. Perplexed. No stars for many days. He tells us in Acts chapter 20. All hope that our lives to be saved was gone. But Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. He says in the last days, it's Paul's ministry that will hold the saints together. And the ship was tossed all about. Don't you feel like we are being tossed all about, brethren? Well, they threw out four anchors. And the four anchors of the Apostle Paul is repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the kingdom and the counsels of God. They threw out those four anchors and stabilized the ship. Brethren, in the time of storm, we have to throw out the four anchors and it will stabilize the ship. We will be brought to glory. No matter what happens. All of us will be saved. And we'll be brought safely to land. Some on board, some clinging to a piece of wood. But we shall see him whom we love. Having not seen, yet still we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord will come And maybe tonight,
my wife, I might meet her in the air. But the scripture says, we'll be far better off to be with the Lord. Brethren, what a day it will be when we shall sing like those in the book of Revelation unto him that loved us and has washed us in the blood, made us kings and priests unto God. His staff went up in a doxology. Brethren, as the hymn was sung, as I sat in my seat, I couldn't speak on anything else but the triumph of Christ. And we all, God is asking, just follow him. Follow him. Follow the victor. If you see how much people followed Mr. Norman Schwarzkopf, Mr. Dick Cheney, all the dignitaries were there. The mayor. And the mayor was Mayor Koch. He was there. All the politicians were there. And they're riding in the car behind. They want to be identified with the victory that Schwarzkopf had wrought there in the desert storm. I wonder if he had lost, how much would have been following him. You know what they would have said? Look, we have so much money in the government. So much of our son lost in life. You know the politicians talk. They ride the wave of victory. But when you win, of course, you've got a lot of licks from them. But brethren, we are assured. We are confident. Without a shadow of a doubt. We know in whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. We are sure that the victor is risen from the grave and he is Lord. We are sure that the victor is on the throne. We are sure that the victor will come through again. He will come and take us out of this scene. Indeed, he will come for us. And then he will come with us to rule and reign. And the scripture says, indeed, brethren, his glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Every eye is going to see him. Oh, indeed, brethren, what a day awaits him. The one who this world despised, disowned, and rejected. We will not have this man to reign over us. Brethren, imagine all the saints who have gone before. All those who are still here. Indeed, beloved, and one brother said, most of my friends is on the other side. He will see them again. And the Lord Jesus will, indeed, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we who are alive shall be called up to meet him in the air. And he says, comfort one another with these things. But oh, the blessed truth is, the Apostle Paul says, he says, listen, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Brethren, we don't want to give up. It's no time to give up. The race is almost over. The victory, indeed, beloved, is won. And all we have to hold on for the few more moments until he will come and be glorified and admired in the saints. The Apostle Paul says he looked for the glorious appearing, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, he says, listen, he says the righteous are... How important? Let me turn to that scripture. 1 Timothy. And we'll close with this. He tells us in 2 Timothy, I believe it is chapter 4. Yes, he says there, I have fought, chapter 1, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And that day, and not only, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, the manifestation of Christ, the unveiling of Christ. Oh, every eye is going to see. Every eye is going to see your Lord, your victor. And I tell you, brethren, he will say, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy of this place. You are worthy of it all. And I could remember Mr. Billy Graham when he won that Nobel Peace Prize. And he got some medal and some money. He says, well, I am going to keep this medal and give it to Jesus when he comes. I don't know if it's possible, but this I know. No matter what we have gotten, because of him, we are going to cast it at his feet. And says, Lord Jesus, thou art worthy. Brethren, what a victory gets wrought. And I could see the victory right here. All of you have been taken captive by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are captive of love. He loved us and he gave himself for us. A Muslim, an Islam, a person who follows Islam is a captive of fear. He had to bow to the sword. But we bow because God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. And I will raise my hand and say, Lord Jesus, reign without a rival.